Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Three Fates Decide. My name is Sam and I am here with my two co-hosts, Liz and Mary. Say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And for your listening pleasure, this episode is all about one of the, most A-list film festivals in the world. And that's the Cannes, right? That's how you pronounce it, Cannes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Cannes Film Festival, which takes place in Cannes, France. We're going to kind of go over some of the, highlights from this year's festival. It just passed. It was from May 16th to the 27th. And it is now, you know, by the time you listen to this, it'll be, you know, later on. But for us, it just happened. So we're going to kind of go over a couple of things that, went on this year. And yeah.
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right. So this week we are going to be talking about...
But just when you least expect it, we changed the game.
One Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
I mean, we always celebrated Easter.
Harry Potter the Half-Blood Prince.
So we're going to do another free talk, freestyle thing. No planned discussion.
At the end of the day, only one thing matters. We decide.
We're going to hit the main highlights.
That is the thing, like what we were saying back in that episode.
A quick recap.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the big reason why we kind of wanted to talk about this particular festival is because it is, in essence, like one of the major, you know, festivals in the festival season that happens every year. So I'm sure some of you guys who are really huge film fans, you're probably following the whole festival circuit thing for a lot of movies. And as you would probably know, some of the movies that get screened at festivals like the like Cannes and Sundance and Tribeca, and even, you know, later this year, the Venice Film Festival, those kind of movies, they tend to be the ones that you need to keep an eye on when award season, you know, starts happening in the beginning of the following year. So it's always worth checking out, you know, which movies were screened, which movies were in competition, which movies got bought, sold, whatever. So, one interesting thing I noticed was actually who was part of the jury for the main competition. It included Paul Dano, Brie Larson this year, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Especially with Brie Larson, because it's like you haven't really heard much about her outside of, you know, doing Captain Marvel lately.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when I heard that, because she's been in some good movies. I mean, she was, you know, nominated for an Oscar, I believe, at some point, and you know, but yeah, she hasn't really done much. So for her to all of a sudden, you know, be a judge in the main competition, it was a little weird. But I don't know what you have to do in order to become one.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, it's funny. Paul Dano actually made more sense to me because, I mean, he has done quite a few movies that have gotten very good reviews. I mean, we talked about, you know, him being the Riddler in the Batman movie. So, you know, as an example, and, mm-hmm. you know, he got a lot of positive reviews for that. And he did do amazing in that, which I'm, you know, I mean, we all had varying degrees of like or dislike about that movie, but we, I think it was unanimous. All three of us agree he was like one of the best parts of that movie. So, okay, so there's that. You know, what was also interesting was the festival opened with what some may call the triumphant return of Johnny Depp with Jean Dubarry.
Yes.
But it was also very controversial as well. So,
yeah.
Well, it was only controversial because of his ex-wife and her
band of misfits. I don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. That one right there. But yeah. I mean, the man got a 7-minute standing ovation for Jean Dubarry. I mean, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
He did it.
Yeah.
Of nothing else, this cemented his comeback. And this is going to, I swear this is going to cement his comeback into Hollywood, because I mean, if he can get a 7-minute standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival, come on now.
Yeah.
Those are his equals that are giving him that standing ovation. Those are people that have worked with him, that know him, and realize that he is not who she claimed he was.
Yep.
I'm kind of curious, would you guys be interested in actually watching the movie?
Yes, I would watch it.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because he plays Louis the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And the title character is actually, for anybody who is not familiar with French history, especially during the royal dynasties, you know, periods, Jean Dubarry is actually one of Louis the 15th's like mistresses, and she's one of the most famous of his mistresses. So the other interesting thing is this movie is entirely in French, from what I understand. So I would be curious to listen to Johnny speaking in French the entire time.
Well, I know he is fluent because his ex was French and he lived in France.
Yeah. Doesn't he still pretty much live in France?
Actually, I think he's living in England right now.
Okay. Because I knew he lived in France for the longest time, even after they
broke up. Yeah. Well, and then
after they separated, but.
And then he lived in LA with Heard. And then. Last I heard he was living in England, like in the country of it, like not like in London or like a major city.
Right. He's living out in the country. There.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, out in the countryside.
And actually,
unfortunately,
it just came out. He broke his ankle. He was supposed to go on a tour with his band to like Boston, New York, and somewhere else. Mm. And he has to cancel because he fractured his ankle.
Ouch.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, feel better, Johnny.
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do believe he is fluid in French. So it would be nice to hear
I'm
him.
I'm sure he is. So.
Hear him speak.
Right. Yeah. It would be kind of interesting to listen to him, like, doing all this dialogue completely in French.
Yeah.
You know. Because unfortunately, Americans in general are not really known for speaking any other languages.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they don't start teaching us until we're too old.
Right?
Right. You know, like, especially if you're not from, like, an immigrant family or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to be completely fluent, but, I mean, you know, I sort of speak 3 languages, so I'm the only one out of us.
I'm learning sign language. But,
that's cool, though. Sign language. You know what? I mean, okay. So for people who, you know, are only vaguely aware of like what film festivals like. You know, obviously the most famous jury is actually the main competition jury, which is what we were talking about, like, you know, with Brie and Paul being part of that. I was looking up some of the other, I guess, like other juries they have at the festival, and I was actually quite surprised who else was included in some of these. Like, there's an Un Certain Regard, I guess is how it's pronounced. John C. Reilly was on that jury, and he was actually the president of that jury, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirsten Johnson was on a different jury too. I'm like, interesting. That's a documentary filmmaker. But yeah, I guess the next thing we could talk about is like, you know, a few of the movies that were screened. Some of the movies screened were part of the actual competitions, and then others were just to exhibit and potentially, you know, promote the movie, and in some cases maybe get some attention so that distributors would purchase the distribution rights to some of these. So the winner in the competition was Anatomy of a Fall, which I will be interested to see if that actually gets any notice in award season, you know, because it won Cannes, you know. Because I think like other movies that have won Cannes in previous years have ended up, you know, getting nominated in a bunch of things later. So, actually, another interesting movie that was also in competition, actually, is Asteroid City, which was directed by one Mr. Wes Anderson and has quite the A-list cast in it, including Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, Tilda Swinton, Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton, Adrian Brody, Liev Schreiber, and a bunch of other people you may have heard of. So,
that is quite a list.
That is. Yeah. Like, holy hell, that's a list.
I mean, seriously.
You know, I can't imagine the budget of that movie then. Just to pay for all of that talent.
Yeah, I mean, and I just listed like the really famous, like super famous names. There's quite a few other actors in it that you would have heard of, you know, like Maya Hawke, Steve Carell, Matt Dillon, Willem Dafoe. But still,
Just the budget to pay those those names. Oh my god!
Seriously,
I mean, obviously the talent is as well, but the names because of the talent. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, you totally know that the distributor is a Focus Features, so you definitely know that once you know you get to award season, they are going to push hard for this one.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
definitely.
Let me think of it. Let's see. I did hear, I don't know too much about it, but I did hear a little bit about Monster, which is another movie that was part of the competition, the main competition, which is the Palme d'Or. That's like one of the, you know, when you think of Cannes Film Festival and you think of like the actual competition, that is the big award, the Palme d'Or. So, this movie is a Japanese movie. I've heard it got some attention at quite a bit of attention at the festival. So again, this is potentially another one of those movies that will probably get some notice in the award season for obviously foreign language / international films.
Well, it did win an award.
Right.
It won Best Screenplay.
Right. So it's definitely going to get.
Yeah. So it's up there.
Yeah. So somebody's going to try to like get the distribution rights and, definitely, you know, push for that at the Oscars, amongst other awards. So, let me think. What else? I did hear a little bit about Pot of Fu, with Julia Binoche as the big name that, you know, American audiences might be somewhat familiar with. That one also got really good ratings as well at the festival. So again, you know, it could get some award pushes. Let me see what other interesting ones to note.
Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah. There's quite a few big name movies that were screened, but they were not part of the competition. Mm-hmm. Of course, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Mr. Ford's farewell to the character.
It's time.
Yeah. Seriously.
You know what?
It's time.
After the third.
As much as I love. Yeah, it was. After the third. I'm with you. After the third one, it was time. But as much as I love Harrison Ford, the man is nearly 80 years old now. He needs to step back.
Well, it's just like, I just hate when, you know, because something worked, they like kill it. They just keep beating that horse.
Beat it to death.
Until it's like literally, like, there's not like, it's done. The last Indiana Jones movie was terrible. You know, I doubt this one's going to be very good. And it's no fault of the actors. It's no, but as you said, Harrison Ford is nearly 80. He can't do all this stuff anymore. And like, why is what I need to know. I need to know why.
I know. It's like, why do they have to bring the, why do they have to do the fourth one?
Yeah.
Like
the horse has been beaten and then you dragged it back and beat it more.
I mean, the horse was already dead after the third one, because the third one was like the epitome of it at all. You know, it was like, you can't get any better. The horse was dead.
I love that one.
Yeah, that was
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, the third movie was like, don't get me wrong, I loved the first, the original three are masterpieces of Harrison Ford's career. Besides, obviously, Star Wars. And there's other movies, obviously, but those are the big, big ones that most people are instantly recognizable with him in it. The characters, at least. Those three were perfect. The third one was just chef's kiss to me, because, I mean, you got Sean Connery. I mean, how can you not? The horse died at that point. The minute the movie ended, the horse was dead. They buried the horse. Unfortunately, they dug the horse up and then decided, we're not done beating the dead horse. And they've done it twice now. I'm like, this poor horse.
Seriously.
Nothing but bones at this point.
But you also...
I have mixed feelings.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have real mixed feelings about, like, whether I will watch it or not, because, I mean...
Oh, I'll watch it. But I'm gonna be like
skeptical side.
Well,
eye.
Undoubtedly, if you do, you will probably want to do a review of it, or maybe we'll all do a review of it. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I will watch it. But I'll probably be going, oh dear God, why?
Oh God.
That'll be mine.
You also had Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon that has like Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro, Brendan Fraser, John Lithgow, you know, that whole cast. They also weren't in competition, but it was shown.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I'll be honest with you, I actually do want to watch this movie. Because when I looked up what exactly the story is about, I was like, okay, this is a movie that honestly a lot of people should watch it, because it covers a very tragic part of American history that never gets talked about, like in any of our history classes. And that is really a shame. And it, you know, really should be something people should be more aware of. I mean, I didn't know about this either. I mean, as much as like I am, I call myself a history nerd, there are still many things in American history that I have not heard of, unfortunately. And what this movie is about is one of those things. So very quickly, the basic premise of the movie is that it centers on a series of murders that happen in Oklahoma in the 1920s towards people in the Osage Nation. So a lot of Native American people were killed over oil because there were a bunch of, you know, deposits located in areas that were declared as reservations on tribal land. And of course, predictably enough, as soon as that, you know, gets discovered, all the white folks show up and are like, yeah, so about this land we told you guys to live on after we kicked you out of your other land that you originally lived on for, you know, the last 1,000+ years.
We want this too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is a shame that we don't know this. I mean, just like those other terrible things that happen in Oklahoma again, like, you know, the Tulsa riots that have only been discussed in recent years, actually. Again, more terrible history that was not taught in a lot of parts of this country. And that is a shame, you know, because we should learn this and we should grow from it and do better for the future. So I would actually want to watch this movie, and it is actually based on a book with the same name. Yeah, it's a nonfiction book. I double checked. So I would actually want to get a copy of it and read the book as well. So, because it really is a shame that we don't know this, and we should. So there, I'm off my soapbox now.
It's fine.
Yeah. I guess the other interesting thing we'll make mention of in terms of what got screened is the closing film, which is Elemental.
Yeah, I saw that trailer when I saw Little Mermaid. It looks so cute. It's a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like Inside Out, but it's about the elements.
No. That does sound cute.
Yeah. It, like, you know, the trailer ended and my sister and I both went, "Oh, that looks really cute. We should come see that." But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are like some, obviously that's not all the movies that were screened in competition or not in competition at the festival, but there's just way too many to talk about. So we're not going to like drag that out. But I guess like we'll just quickly go over like a few other interesting bits of news that came out of the festival since, you know, a lot of things were going on, and it did happen for like about 2 weeks. One of the WTF moments was this announcement I read was apparently they are doing a sequel to that Winnie the Pooh slasher horror movie, and it involves Bambi. And I'm like, what?
Well, I honestly can't be surprised about that, because I mean, Bambi was absolutely horrifying to children if they understand what's going on with the movie.
Yeah, but this is even worse.
I know. Right. But at I'm least just... it's not going to be... at least they're not marketing it to children. They're marketing it to adults.
No, I know, but I'm just like... I know. I'm just like, why is this even a movie? Well, first off, the Winnie the Pooh thing. I was like, what?
Yeah, like they just threw some stuff together and was like,
yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. They're like, well, how can we just... It's like, how can we re-traumatize all the children that are now adults with the movies of their childhood? How can we re-traumatize them? Because obviously, if you look at Winnie the Pooh now as an adult, it's kind of like you're on an acid trip. Because I mean, it makes no sense. And I loved Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Winnie the Pooh. Tigger and Eeyore. Those were my jams. I was either Tigger or I was Eeyore. I am now mostly Eeyore. Tigger comes out every once in a while. Every once in a while, there'll be a good day. And I got the energy of Tigger. Mostly I'm just Eeyore. And I'm like, I don't know where I've lost my damn tail.
Yeah. Poor guy.
I know. Poor Eeyore.
Okay.
That's pretty much how I'm most days. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was very strange. Like I already thought that was kind of weird to begin with, that like they were even doing a movie like that, like for Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will concede the idea of making Bambi into a horror slasher type movie. Okay, that does slightly make a little bit more sense considering things, but still, it's still very like the hell.
It is. It's very bizarre, but I mean, in a way, it doesn't surprise me, like, at all.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why it doesn't surprise me, but it really doesn't. I'm just like, okay. Like, it didn't really surprise me that they made Winnie the Pooh into a horror film either, because I'm just like, okay, just take all the traumatizing shit from our childhoods and just re-traumatize us as adults, but make it gorier. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I always thought Winnie the Pooh was a vicious little bear anyway.
Wait, seriously?
Well, I mean, come on, the man... Have you seen the man eat honey?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, you know he's murdered some bees for that honey.
Well, I mean, probably a real bear probably did.
I mean, as much honey as that bear eats, I mean, you can't tell me he left all them bees alone and just... easily went and got that honey. No, he was murdering them bears, ripping them beehives apart. They just don't show that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate.
Yeah, the Bambi thing, it's weird, but it makes sense, but it's weird.
Yeah. Not that I was gonna ever see either one, but you know, since it's not really my thing, horror slasher movies in general, but yeah, that was just like, what the heck? But it was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, I haven't seen the Winnie the Pooh one. I've thought about it, but I haven't watched it yet. I may eventually watch it, just because one day when I'm really like want to traumatize myself and be like, well, let's just do this shit. I'll watch it because I'm like, might as well.
Yeah. But anyway, so another odd thing is actually there is a collaboration between Mel Gibson and 50 Cent, apparently. They are working on a crime thriller that as of a couple of weeks ago or recently, they were currently in production on, and it is kind of an interesting premise, I will admit, but it's just like, it's really unexpected pairing in this movie, because they both are, so Gibson is playing an FBI special agent and 50 Cent is a police chief, and they are trying to track down a serial killer together. So this movie was basically being shopped around, you know, for like distribution and whatnot. But yeah, I just had to mention that because that's just like, again, kind of unexpected partnership, I guess you could say, for a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, one other interesting thing. Michael Douglas was given an honorary Palme d'Or, as well as Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I think I read Harrison Ford good. Was like last minute. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like a planned thing originally.
Huh.
Yeah, I think I read that
too.
They
were just like, oh, here you go. You can have this.
That's kind of awkward.
It was like right before Indiana Jones like premiered or whatever. And they were like, here, you're old. We'll give you this. That's awkward. At least how I am envisioning the conversation.
Yeah.
Your career is almost over. Here you go.
Yeah. and another interesting bit of business dealing that happened at the festival. So Firebrand, which stars Alicia Vikander and Jude Law, was being, you know, sold internationally, and there was apparently quite a bit of, you know, horse trading, as it were, for this movie. There was like some real interest in the distribution, and ultimately, Amazon Prime is video is going to distribute it, at least in the UK. And it also looks like Sony Pictures is also involved in distribution for this movie as well. So in case any of you weren't aware of what this movie is about, basically Jude Law plays Henry VIII and Alicia is playing his last wife, Catherine Parr, who did survive her husband. So there's that. I don't know if I would actually watch that. I mean, just how many times can you talk about Henry VIII and his business with his six wives, really? You know.
Apparently more than anybody really cares to.
I know, right?
Because they keep making movies and shows and musicals and everything about it. I'm like, good God.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, how many times can we rehash this?
We know what happened.
I mean, seriously.
We understand.
Let me see. What else is there to mention? Because, again, I'm, you know, trying to weed through all the various announcements. And to be fair, some of the things, like, only really Die Hard, you know, indie film lovers and, you know, international film lovers would be super interested in, like, everything. This one was also attention grabbing and potentially award season bait, as it were. Netflix buys May December starring Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore for $11 million following Buzzy Can debut. If you couldn't guess by the title, it is about a relationship that has a age gap. So, so in this movie, Julianne Moore plays the December to Charles Melton's much younger May. You know, the May and December in the title, who was just 13 when the two fell in love. Given their 20-year age gap, their marriage inspired a national tabloid scandal. Decades later, the relationship is put to the test as an actress. Portman travels to Georgia to study the life of Moore's character, whom she set to play in a film. So, yeah. This is going to be one of those movies that you imagine that they're going to totally push this in award season. You know, I mean, just looking at the cast alone, you know, the two big actresses in it. I mean, they're clearly going to do that. Todd Haynes is the director. CAA Media Finance and UTA Independent Film Group repped U.S. rights on the film.
Of course.
Yeah. Todd Haynes, the Oscar-nominated screenwriter of Far From Heaven, is also known for pop star-inspired Velvet Goldmine, Carol, Bob Dylan biopic I'm Not There, etc. So, I mean, you know, this director has done some very good work. So, and we both know these actresses are very good actresses. So, I mean, the movie's probably very good, but still, given who's involved in this, yeah. Can't think of too much else that is worth discussing in terms of news at the festival that actually there is one last thing. I almost forgot about this. The Idol, that show with Lily Rose Depp, I think, and The Weeknd. Yeah. That was, I guess they screened it, like, the first episode or something like that, which I'm confused about because, like, it's a TV series, so I'm assuming they were screening, like, the first episode, maybe, and, that was another controversial one. A lot of controversy. Mm. I mean, some people were, like, protesting it and everything. Oof. Well, at any rate, it will be interesting to see if any of our predictions about some of these movies we mentioned being award season candy.
I guess we'll have to wait.
Happens
and see.
Or not. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe some of the movies we didn't mention might be dark horses during award season. But who knows?
Yep. Did you like what you heard on our episode today? Well, then feel free to come back and listen to us again. You can find us on all different streaming sites, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, we're there. And if you really like us, feel free to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at 3FatesDecide. That's THREE Fates Decide. You can also email us at 3FatesDecide@gmail.com and check out our website at 3FatesDecide.com to find other episodes, information about your three hosts, and all of our other links. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on 3 Fates Decide.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favorite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new book trivia podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.